Luke turned back toward the courtyard. The tree ferns pushing up through its disarrayed cobblestones seemed as substantial and normal as his own form, as did the rest of the plant life, the mosses hanging from the arcade pillars and the line of fungi ringing the fountain's basin. But like the walls back in the station's meditation chamber, the ornate stonework was shadowy and incorporeal, with edges just distinct enough to suggest sculpted decoration that was both sinuous and grotesque. Seek, before we left the station, you told me that my body still appeared substantial, not because it was filled with the living force, but only because I remained attached to it. Luke pointed at a hairy yellow club moss as tall as he was. But the plant life here appears substantial too, and I'm not attached to it at all.
But another presence is,
agreed Ryantar.
Go on, you'll see.
Luke stepped out of the arcade into the light of a harsh blue sun. As he grew accustomed to its glare, he saw that the courtyard sat in the bottom of a deep jungle valley, with steep walls blanketed in alien plant life rising to all sides. The highest wall, located at the far end of the courtyard, ascended more than a kilometer to the dipping rim of a volcano crater. Luke continued forward and slowly came to realize that the whole courtyard was filled with the acrid stench of sulfur. The fumes weren't burning his throat or nose, since he did not actually seem to be breathing them, but they were making him queasy. And as he drew closer to the fountain, something inside him protested so violently that he felt as though he might retch. When he reached the basin, Luke could finally see through the curtain of steam to the font itself. It was a jet of water about as thick as his leg, so filled with sulfur and iron that it was as brown as a tree trunk, and so permeated with force energy that it literally sent him stumbling back, his head spinning and his stomach churning. The fountain was not just tainted with the dark side power, it was imbued with it, as if it were rising up from some deep buried reservoir of dark side energy that had been building, preparing to blow for not just millennia, but since the beginning of time itself. Luke resisted the temptation to start hurling accusations. The font of power was clearly a dark side nexus, and Ryantar, at least, would understand what that meant. Such nexuses arose as a result of any number of events, all of them bad. Perhaps a powerful user of the dark side had once lived in the valley, or merely been killed there. The Valley of Dark Lords on Korriban had become a dark side nexus because it had been inhabited by Sith Lords for so long, and a nexus had formed an orbit over Endor after Palpatine died there. Whatever the case, as a former Jedi Knight, Ryantar would have known better than to think Luke would actually drink from the fountain without noticing the nexus. The Godel had to have brought him here for another reason, some less obvious form of corruption, or perhaps just to test him. When Luke finally felt calm enough, he turned to Ryantar and asked,
"What happened here?"
Ryantar spread his hands to indicate that he didn't know.
"It's as much a mystery as the Maw itself," he said. "But does it matter? If you drink of the fountain, you will have the power to save the Jedi Order from extinction."
From extinction?
Luke felt like he had been hit in the stomach with a Stokely spray stick. Was that how their problems with Dala were going to end? Or were the delusions going to wipe them out?
"Have you seen that?"
Ryantar nodded.
"I'm sorry."
Luke turned toward the fountain, wondering if drinking of its waters truly was the only way to save the Jedi Order. If that had been enough to convince Jason.
"How does it happen?"
Luke asked.
"The extinction, I mean."
"It is already happened,"
Farrell said. He pointed a bony finger past Luke toward the fountain.
"Drink. It is the only way to save your order."
Luke frowned in confusion, until he recalled that time did not exist beyond shadows. Of course, that didn't mean that the Jedi were safe. Far from it, with young Jedi going mad and Dala determined to bring the Order itself to heel. Given all that, extinction seemed like a real possibility sooner rather than later. Luke turned to study the fountain. He could feel its dark power swirling around him, inviting him to use it to save what he had spent a lifetime building, what he loved more than life itself. And he was tempted, just as every man was when he saw an easy way out of a desperate situation. All he needed to do was return to the basin, stick his head into the dark geyser, and drink of those poison waters. But even if Luke were willing to corrupt himself, he wouldn't be saving the Order. He would only be making it dependent on his own strength. And that was no more a formula for building a strong organization than it was for raising a healthy child. If he wanted the Order to survive him, he had to let it strengthen itself by going through this struggle without him. Just as he had to let Ben make his own mistakes if Ben was going to develop the wisdom to lead the Order after Luke was gone.